This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Iraq's governing council is expected to meet today to discuss the raid on the headquarters of the Iraqi National Congress and home of its leader, Ahmad Chalabi. Today, following yesterday's raid carried out by Iraqi police and U.S. soldiers, Chalabi sharply criticized the United States and its continuing occupation of Iraq. He called for the immediate return of full sovereignty. Chalabi was once touted by the Bush administration as a possible leader of Iraq. He now stands accused of corruption and of providing U.S. intelligence information to Iran. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on Chalabi's decline.
The Pentagon gave Chalabi's Iraqi National Congress its last payment this month for a controversial multi-million-dollar intelligence gathering program. The U.S. was spending about $340,000 a month for information, first about Iraq's alleged weapons programs, and later about Iraqi insurgencies. When the Pentagon's number two official, Paul Wolfowitz, announced the decision to stop the funding, he gave no indication he was dissatisfied with Chalabi's efforts.
That was a decision that was made in light of the process of transferring sovereignty to the Iraqi people. We felt it was no longer appropriate for us to continue funding in that fashion. There's been some very valuable intelligence that's been gathered through that process. It's been very important for our forces, but we will seek to obtain that in the future through normal intelligence channels.
But Chalabi's critics in the State Department and on Capitol Hill argue the intelligence and advice he gave to the U.S. were faulty and misleading. Democratic Senator Joseph Biden said he often questioned the Pentagon civilian leaders for pinning their hopes for Iraqi democracy on a man who spent most of his life in exile and was convicted in absentia of bank fraud in Jordan.
I could never quite understand the incredible preoccupation of the administration with Mr. Chalabi. And I think that reliance has done us great damage in terms of establishing legitimacy.
That idea was echoed by another Chalabi critic, David Phillips of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Ahmad Chalabi has no currency with the Iraqi people. He's the most distrusted figure in Iraq. He has no political base of support, no constituency. The only reason he's a figure is because we've been funding him and we've been giving him a soapbox to stand on.
Phillips goes through a laundry list of what he says are the ways Chalabi misled the U.S.
The informants that he was providing were, for the most part, bogus. He persuaded us that the Arab Shia would roll out the red rug and welcome us, when we should have known full well that after the Gulf War in 1991, when we let them down, that they would be reserved in their enthusiasm for our arrival.
Since the war, Ahmad Chalabi has increasingly fallen out with American officials. He often clashed with U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer, according to Michael Rubin, who served in the U.S. Occupation Authority before joining the American Enterprise Institute.
Bremer's always distanced himself from Chalabi. Bremer and Chalabi have had fights going back till September. Frankly, between Bremer and Chalabi, it's a clash of egos.
What's new, Rubin says, is that the Bush administration has made a high-level decision to distance itself from Chalabi.
That's all well and good. Ironically, it could be the very thing that salvages Chalabi's political career. Because at this point, anyone who's seen as the puppet of the Americans is going to have a hard time proving themselves in Iraq.
Even critics of Chalabi agree he's already reinvented himself as an anti-occupation politician. Some charge he's now trying to undermine the United Nations efforts to set up an interim Iraqi government, because it's increasingly clear he won't be part of it. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.